I think a good reminder for us this morning is that sometimes it's easy to give money or finances to missionaries who are out in the field, but sometimes what they really need is our prayer support. And so just remind you this week, maybe jot a note to pray for Dan and Candace or the Russells or the Lynns or Wilna Snell, missionaries that we support. Wilna? Dan and Candace Trafford. But sometimes we get so caught up in life that we forget to pray for some of the people we should be praying for. And you can pray for us, too. I wanted to start out this morning asking you a question. Is there anybody that's dead here this morning? And if you're dead, you probably can't answer it. You might have to look around. Maybe if someone's sleeping, you can nudge them or check. But the definition of death is no longer living, not endowed with life. So how do we tell if someone's dead? What do we do?
Check for life.
Check for life. Yeah, exactly. We check to see if they have a pulse. If someone's, looks like everybody's moving around this morning, that's usually a sign of life. So I don't see anybody that's dead here this morning. Let's just pause and have a word of prayer for the firemen, okay? Heavenly Father, we just take this time to lift up the firemen who serve in this community. We just ask for their safety as they're gathering now together to help those in need. And we just pray for those who have called, whether it's an accident or a fire. We just pray, Father, that you will watch over them. Be with them as they go to minister to others, is what we ask in your name. Amen. Where was I at? We check for signs of life. Sometimes we could be at the point where you're on a respirator, and the only sign of life is a pulse. But there's still life there. And so as we talk about life, the scripture we have this morning deals a little bit with death. So I want you to listen to it. We're starting a sermon series on the book of Ephesians. Barry and I switched weeks because I didn't want to take any time from him. We're going to try to keep it shorter this morning, but we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at the first 10 verses, and I think Megan's going to read those to us. But listen to what God is saying in these verses. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, if you want to follow in your Bibles.
Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not by yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you, Megan. It's interesting, if we look at the very end of chapter 1, it talks about Jesus. It talks about Jesus being raised from the dead. It talks about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. And it talks about Jesus being far above any human authority or power. Just talks about how awesome Jesus is. But then we get to chapter 2. And the first three words in my translation are, as for you. So there's a transition going, talking about Jesus, talking about us here. And the first three verses are really dealing with, I think, spiritual death. If we look at what it means to be spiritually dead, I think we can look at these first three verses. I want to give you a definition again for death. I'm going to add some. These all come from the dictionary. But I said already that death means that you're no longer living. You're not endowed with life. It also can mean tasteless or flat. I'll try not to move around too much so you can hear me. We see in verse 1 that death comes from transgressions and sin. To transgress means like if we kind of have maybe a boundary you have to stay in and you go outside of that boundary. Now, I don't know about you, but if I see a bench with a sign on that says, wet paint, do not touch. Do you know what I want to do? I want to go over and touch it. I want to know for myself whether that paint's wet or not. I want to be the one that decides. Do you see where I'm coming from? We want to do sometimes what we want. And sometimes when we do that, we end up transgressing our sin. Sin is when we kind of get outside of the guidelines that God is giving us to live by. And so when we want to do things our way, that seems to be when I tend to get in trouble. I don't know about you. But death comes from those things, transgressions and sins, it says in those first three verses. The other thing we see that spiritual death comes from in verse 2, it talks about following the ways of the world. Following the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So Satan is kind of the ruler and authority on earth. He kind of has dominion over the earth. And so following the ways of the world, you see where we're headed. We're following Satan. We're getting away from what God wants us to do. One of the things as a parent that I often or sometimes heard, maybe you can relate with this, and maybe if you're a child, you can relate with this too. Did you ever tell your parents, well, everybody else is doing it? Did anybody ever use that excuse? I think I might have done that, but I've heard it from my children as well. If you're parents, I'm sure you heard that at one time or another. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else in the world is doing it, but is that what God wants you to do? If it comes to, everybody else is going out drinking, why can't I go? Everybody else is doing drugs. Why can't I do that? Everybody else lies. What's it matter if I tell a little white lie? Everybody else cheats on their taxes. What happens if I bend the rules a little bit? We're all overtaxed anyway. Do we ever follow that everybody else is doing it? Theology. You know, God is not telling us to follow what everybody else is doing. In fact, if you are comfortable in the world, if you're comfortable with your life the way it is now, maybe you need to reevaluate where you're at, because this is not our home. We are just visitors here. Our home is in heaven, sitting with Christ in the heavenly realms. Sometimes I need to be reminded of that. And just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right for me. Another thing we see in verse 3, it talks about gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. That means that if you have trouble with lust, Dan, I heard you mention this. If you have trouble with lust, pornography is probably an issue in your life. Or maybe sex outside of marriage or some kind of sexual sin. If you have trouble with power, if you're power hungry, maybe you really have a desire to get a lot of money because money is power. Maybe you have a desire to get that promotion at work, and you'll neglect your family, you'll neglect God, because you need to get that promotion, because you'll be in a more powerful position. What are the things that we crave in life? Are we easily angered when things don't go our way? This is a good one for me. Have you ever been driving along the road and someone pulls out in front of you and you have to hit your brakes because they're going that slow, and then they drive about 35 miles an hour and at 55? I'm trying not to be angry, but my wife hears me make some frustrating comments at times, I'm sure, when that happens. You know, but I try to remember sometimes, too, that maybe God's trying to slow me down to keep me out of trouble. You know, there's two ways to look at everything. But do we crave things of this world? Do we get upset when things don't go our own way? And being spiritually dead doesn't mean you're a bad person. It does not mean that you don't have morals in your life. It does not mean that you treat people in the wrong way. You could be a very good person and have good morals and still be spiritually dead. Spiritually dead means that the most innermost part of your being, your soul, your spirit, not your soul, your spirit, is not connected at all to the most awesome person that we know, our Heavenly Father. There's no connection there. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, but there's no connection with Him. It means you're spiritually dead. Verse 3 says, all of us. You know, it's easy for me to say that, you know, I was always a pretty good kid. I don't think I was ever in trouble. I grew up in a church. I was always a Christian. I just lied. Nobody can say you're always a Christian. We all were born into sin, weren't we? It says here that we all, at one time, were spiritually dead. This morning, either you were spiritually dead, or maybe you still are spiritually dead. But at one point, all of us were in the same boat. We were all separated from Jesus Christ, and we were all spiritually dead. Sounds pretty depressing up to this point, doesn't it? But let's listen to verses 4 and 5 are pretty awesome verses. They're verses, to remember in Scripture. Because, I always like but and because. But because, there's a way out for us. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, His great love and His mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verses 4 to 6 talk about God's mercy and grace. And what an awesome thing to follow up verses 1, 2, and 3 with. We all have hope because of that great love and mercy that God has for us. We can be raised just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we can be raised from our spiritual death. And I think the one song talked about, the song Power, talked a little bit about, you know, the same power that Jesus rose from the dead with is living in us. And it can raise us from a life of sin and a life of separation from Jesus Christ. We all know these things, I believe. So what does God want us to do this morning? I think God wants us to look at how spiritually alive we are. Is that right, Easton? God wants us to look at how we're doing spiritually. Remember what we said? We don't look for signs of death usually. We look for signs of life to tell if someone's alive or not. So what are some of the signs of life we should be looking for in our own life? And I think as I look at these verses, one of the first things that I see is that there has to be a change. There has to be a change in my life. There has to be a change in your life that we can look back to. Something is now different. And I had to think about John chapter 11 talks about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. At the end of that account, in verse 44, Jesus says, take off his grave clothes and let him go. And I think there's some spiritual significance to Jesus saying that. Imagine if you're a dead person, this might be hard, if you're laying in a coffin and you're dead, that's a pretty okay place to be. It's pretty nice, probably. It's nice and padded, and you're by yourself, nice and quiet. You don't think a thing about it when you're dead. But what if you're in that coffin and become alive? How would you feel being in there? I'd be terrified, because I'm a little claustrophobic to begin with. And dark in a tight place, not being able to breathe. When there's a change that takes place in our life, I think there's a realization that something has to go. I don't want to be in this coffin anymore. When Jesus says, take off those grave clothes, there's a spiritual significance to that. There needs to be a change in our life when we realize, you know, where we're at and where we need to go. And it might seem kind of hard or impossible to get out of a coffin when you're in it, if you would become alive, but that's where God's power comes in. That same power that raised Jesus can get rid of those obstacles that might hold us back or keep us where we're at. I think another thing to look for as a sign of spiritual life is I think we're going to want to crave to spend time with God. We're going to crave that time. I had to think about my own life, because there's some times I'll get up in the morning and I'll often spend time in prayer. I'll just lay awake for an hour in bed just talking to the Lord sometimes. But then I'll think, oh, you know, I better read his word, you know, and sometimes it gets to be habit. And it's not, I can't honestly say I'm craving to do that every morning. And yet that's where I think we need to be getting to. If we're spiritually healthy, we should be craving that time we have with our Heavenly Father. Another thing, another sign of spiritual life is found in Galatians 5, 22, 23. You know what that is? Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Did I get them all, Lord? Faithfulness. Those are things that should be evident in our life if we're spiritually healthy. People should see those things in us. Another thing that I think that we see in Scripture here in these 10 verses is that we'll do good works. Now, Dan mentioned this morning that we're not saved by works. James says we're not saved by works. Paul says we're not saved by works. But that's a sign. Doing good works is a sign of being spiritually healthy, because when God is in us and when he's working through us, he's going to use us to minister to people, to create relationships where we can tell people about Jesus, to go and visit someone who's sick, to take a meal to someone who needs it. Those are things that have nothing to do with our salvation, but they're things that we do when we're spiritually healthy, because that's what God is asking us to do. So I think you'll see works taking place in someone's life. The last thing I wanted to close with is verse 10. Verse 10 is a really neat verse. And it starts out by saying that we are all God's workmanship. We're all God's workmanship. And knowing me, you probably know I looked at the Greek to see what was translated workmanship here. But the Greek word is poiema. And the meaning of this word is really neat. It means that which has been made, or it also means the works of God as creator. So for those of you who love to get out into nature, does anybody like to go out and just enjoy nature here? Just to see what God has created. Judy and I had the chance to see the Swiss Alps. Awesome. Really lets you understand how awesome God is when you see something like that. Or if you've ever been driving in eastern Colorado, and in the distance you can see the Rocky Mountains for, it seems like, hours. You know, they don't seem to be getting any bigger. You just keep driving, perfectly flat. But you get to the Rockies, and it's just awesome. And there's so many places just around here in Lancaster County that you can just go, and it's so beautiful. And it's so awesome. And God has created all those things. It's just, imagine we're on an earth that's spinning. I'm not very good in science. How fast are we spinning here? Somebody tell me. Fast. And we're not flying off into the air because of something called gravity that God created. I mean, everything is so intricately created and made by our Heavenly Father. And that same process went into each one of us. When He made you, you are so special. God made you in a special way. And He gave you certain talents. I know Dan's a lot better in football than I am. He's probably a better athlete than I am. And Mike's stronger than I am. We're all different. We have different abilities. But also God has given each of us different gifts to use because He has a special plan for your life. He has things that He has planned for you to do that are going to bring Him glory and honor. But it's up to us as to whether we want to do those things. It's up to us as to whether we want to give our lives to Him and let Him control our lives and to be used by Him. The question, I think, for us this morning is this. Are you ready to leave those things behind that hinder your walk with the Lord? That hinder your God-given potential? Are you ready to give those things up and allow God to work through you to accomplish His purposes? And will you allow God, and this is an awesome thing, I think, and we sang it this morning, we read it this morning, I think Dan might have even mentioned it this morning, but will you allow God to use that same power in your life that He used to raise Jesus from the dead? Think about how awesome that is. Think about what God can do through you if you allow Him. You know, I think in my life it all comes down to we want to be in control, don't we? We want to decide what time we get up in the morning. We want to decide where we work. We want to decide if the paint on the bench is wet or not. But it's also up to us to decide if we're ready to hand that over now to God and let Him make the decisions. I know, I'll share this. This maybe is for Dan and Candace mainly. When we were looking to go into volunteer service, I thought, boy, my giftings and everything is lined up with a position in Florida. And I really thought that's where God would want us to go. And I like where it's warm. And so, you know, I just was expecting God to call us there. And didn't He go and call us to Kentucky to do home repair, which I knew nothing about. But, you know, He had a different plan. And I don't know if I know exactly why He had us go there yet. But He does. And He supplied people to do what needed to be done. Are we ready this morning to turn things over to God? So if the worship team wants to come up a while, we're going to close with a song. But I wanted to give a little time as they're coming up. If God put something in your heart that you wanted to share, maybe a testimony of how He's worked in your life, how He's done something that would encourage us, I'd like you to invite you to come up and share that now. Also, we'll give you time, if you'd like someone to pray for you, if you're struggling spiritually, it's time to evaluate where we're at spiritually, I think. I hope you're not laying in bed on life support with a breathing apparatus, you know. But I think all of us are at a position where we're not completely 100% healthy, maybe. There's some things we need to deal with in our life. So if you want to come up and have someone pray with you about that, you're welcome to do that during this song as well. Why don't we stand?